This episode of In the Conversation is brought to you by D-Lemon's Curry Chicken. It's all right. Actually, D-Lemon needs to get in touch with some of his Jamaican friends and find out exactly what is missing from that curry chicken. Anyway, that's D-Lemon's Curry Chicken. You check it out. It's decent. And this is In the Conversation. Enjoy. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are live and direct from the Metro Podcast Studios.
New shit.
Yeah, new spaceship. We out here. Paul, shout out to Combat Jack. I just said spaceship as a studio reference. That got from him, definitely.
Yeah, no doubt. We in the mothership.
We are here. We in the building. Nice little situation.
You know what I'm saying? Feels fresh.
Yeah, it's nice.
It feels like we on some new shit.
We are. We out here.
You know, we got ads and shit.
You know, hey.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Sponsors is out there. They spending money with us now.
Word up.
What's good with you, man? How you doing?
Man, everything good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just coming from a parent-teacher conference and shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
It's early, huh?
That's how they started off early. Actually, the school did it different this year, and they came up with this thing called listens. So basically, the advisor will, you know, ask you a couple of questions about who your student is, and it's your opportunity to kind of, you know, explain who your child is from, you know, saying from a home perspective, from a school perspective, from a learning perspective.
Okay.
And I've never experienced that before. It's usually you sit down and listen to them tell you what the fuck gonna happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you try to figure out if your child gonna get the better hand of this shit or not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, in this, it feels more reassuring that at least they know from your perspective what you think and who you think your child is and what you expect.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a good moment to advocate for your kid. You know what I mean? And which my kid, you know what I'm saying, I always feel kind of concerned coming into the school year whether what kind of, you know what I'm saying, administrators or what kind of leadership she's going to face.
Okay.
Because my particular child is, you know, will fall on the side of, you know, very social, cool kid type of kid.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But that's will be involved in learning. But some teachers, they put the cool kids or the social kids on one side of the room and then put the academics on the other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And kind of make a delineation of how people get treated based on where they fall socially.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if that's because of, you know, where that teacher fell socially in their life or whatever. Mm. But it doesn't make for a good learning environment from my experience for my child.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Has that happened before?
Yes, it has happened. It happens a lot. That's why, you know, I pay attention to it.
Did that happen to your child or, like, it happened to you? Did it ever happen to you?
No.
The first time you saw it was with your...
Like, with my kid, like, with my oldest son, because he walked into middle school. He's 6'2" already.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In sixth grade. So, off top, he's getting judged.
Standing out.
He's getting judged differently, you know what I'm saying, than the normal 11-year-old.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then from there, you know, he's going to be pretty popular. He was pretty popular, so, you know what I'm saying, you got that. So a lot of times he'll have these preconceived notions going into the school year of who this child may be without even knowing us, you know what I'm saying? So you go into a conference and they like, well, you know, are you guys reading to them or are you banking on basketball? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? He didn't, at this point, he don't even really know how to play no basketball.
Right.
So what the fuck are you talking about?
You're banking on basketball.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real quote. That ain't no.
That's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
That actually is funny, too, because it's like there's a whole different playbook. They're like, all right, so wait, what are we doing here? You banking on basketball? All right, bet. Let me get this curriculum.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like. Then you got to bust him down with where the child been, you know what I'm saying, the curriculums that he's been involved with, you know what I'm saying, bing, 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 the schools that he's come from. And then he's like, oh, you know what I'm saying?
Now new
we,
to this.
Yeah, we dealing with, oh, okay.
We true to this.
So, you know, to get ahead of it, you know what I'm saying, you all, you know, you just pay attention to what's happening and who you're talking to. So this was pretty good for me to be in this situation where they actually listen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I've seen with my youngest, my daughter, how it plays on one side when she's separated from the group like that and they feel isolated and they don't feel like the teacher is with them. You know what I'm saying? They feel like the teacher's not really teaching to them. So they become their own support group.
Right.
And then last year she had a teacher that really saw who she was and used that to her advantage.
Right.
Oh, you are social. You know everybody. Let me use that to kind of propel you academically and keep you a part of the process, give you a job in the process almost, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, since you're a leader in the space, you know what I'm saying, why don't you and make you feel like you're a part of the whole situation. So
what type of teacher was that? What subject?
That she was the advisor. So, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? She might teach one class, but that's the one who they check
she
in with.
Kids,
yeah, she check in with them first. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the homeroom advisor. So, you know, I felt like it was a good situation to be able to lay all that out and, you know what I'm saying, my expectations of her and also my expectations of the school. So it was a good chance to advocate right quick from the jump.
That's cool. That's
I like that.
Yeah, I never heard that before. That's fire.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Principal O'Reilly. They be staying on some progressive shit sometimes.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Progress.
Yeah.
So when you're saying everything, they sit, they kind of take notes.
Yeah, she's like, it's just the advisor, the one who's basically who your child will check in with if anything, any problems. And then this particular teacher also teaches her math class. So, she took notes. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying, you know, she had the big old eyes and, you know, was basically like, you know, that was very comprehensive.
Mm. It was like, oh, so y'all knew. Did you have your spiel down pack or
No, it's off the top. But I'm 3 kids in, you know what I'm saying? And then early on at the first school that my boys went to, they always give you these comprehensive reports on who your child is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? From their perspective.
Okay.
Like, instead, they didn't give grades. They gave these, you know what I'm saying, psychoanalytic reports.
Yeah,
you know what
down.
I'm saying? Right. And they, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times, you know, it'd be who your kid is at school. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, way
they cracked the code on this one.
The way my oldest son is, you know what I'm saying? He is the same way consistently from his early reports from kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be the center of the social environment.
Right.
He's going to lead the way. He's going to be excited to learn. You know what I'm saying? The other kids feed off of his excitement.
Right.
But once you put him in another environment, he's going to be about that environment. Which means once he leaves school and he goes home, he ain't going to be about that schoolwork too tough.
Out of sight, you know what I'm saying? Mind, huh?
Exactly. So he got to stay inside of the moment, and you got to create that moment for him to stay inside of. So that's when he works his best.
Right.
So, you know, you get to understand and you get to learn. But years of doing that type of shit and understanding your kids and that kid, the second kid, by the time you get to the third one, you already know what to look for and, you know what I'm saying? You listening to the consistent storyline of what you see, but then you also see the potential in your child.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas those reports and what those teachers may not see, you know what I'm saying? They might not see the potential unless it's a teacher who does. So you had to, this was a good way to throw that kind of shit on the table off rip.
Have you ever had a situation where a teacher identifies something in your child that you didn't even know? That you were like, oh, wow. And they kind of discovered something that maybe y'all cultivated later on, but they were like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, interestingly enough, the school that we pay a lot of money to go to, while they give you this psychoanalytic report, it's based on just your kid. It's not based on against the weight of the room. You know what I'm saying? It's not against the other kids. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I guess that's good when, you know what I'm saying, if it's going on the bad end. But if it's going on the good end, you won't know. You know what I'm saying? Because if it's going on a bad, then they're going to be like, well, you know, he needs to work on this and he needs to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But so when, you know what I'm saying, we went to a public school and, you know, that particular kid who you thought, you know, he's doing fine. He's not doing bad. He's not doing super great. He's A-okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you put him in a situation where they weighing everybody against each other and it's standardized testing and shit like that. The teacher started to be like, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? And it was actually a teacher that was like, yo, this kid's, I ain't got much else for him. You know what I'm saying? So, and then you be like, where? Then his standardized testing come in, and then you can understand that, oh, we need to cultivate that. But if he had stayed in the private school environment where they kept everything kind of balanced, no, you know what I'm saying? They didn't want to make you feel like your child was outpacing nobody or falling too far behind. So they try to keep it to where it's balanced.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so once we knew, now we could cultivate it. Now we could try to find a place that fits.
And when they said, yo, we don't know what to do in this situation?
Like, no, she's like, he's already outpaced what I'm going to teach for the year.
Oh, so meaning like, yo, I mean, he's done.
Right.
That's a humble moment for a teacher to be like, yo.
And she wasn't saying it in a humble way. She was just saying like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You might want to look into this. Cause
meaning like, okay, y'all got to move him because he's talented or gifted or whatever. Or like outpacing.
Right. She didn't say y'all got to move him, but she did. She was like, let me put you on something that, okay.
Because this ain't.
Right. I ain't got nothing else to give him. You know what I'm saying? So that was a surprise because in the other environment they would have never said that.
Right. Because they want everybody to feel the same.
Right. They especially, you know what I'm saying, they ain't gonna want the little black kid to feel like he outpacing everybody.
Right.
Walking
around
with his chest out and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Giving the teachers his ass to kiss.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, you do learn. If you're paying attention, you will learn from based on the shit you see at home and the reports you get back. You will, if you pay attention, you will be able to put together a plan to help your kid, you know what I'm saying?
Thrive. That's my point. So at that point, when they tell you that, what do they suggest? Do they give you an additional plan? It's like, all right, so this is the schoolwork for the week.
They don't give you shit.
Do they suggest? They say, yo, look.
No.
So
they continue going on through the year. She's just letting you know. She got to teach what she's teaching because she got a whole other – she got a class to teach. And she got to get them kids ready for the test.
I got it. But what is that suggestion? What is that for you to do? Is it saying, yo, he's killing this shit. Like, we're going to do this, but he already kind of noticed. So is this a waste? Are they saying, like, this is a waste of time? Maybe you should bring him somewhere else? Or are they saying, like, yo – additionally, why don't you add this, this, and this to the curriculum?
Nah, that, first of all, you know what I mean? They not going to say that. You know what I mean? It's on you.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Unless it's a special kind of situation. But basically, in any situation, and me going from paying, you know, a whole lot of money ahead for a kid to public school to, you know what I'm saying, different kind of specialized schools, we've seen that no matter where your kid is, you still gonna have to supplement based on your kid's specific needs.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't never gonna be, I can't say it's never gonna be, but a lot of times you sit back thinking, shit, I'm paying $30,000. They gonna get every fucking thing they need.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At this bitch.
Yeah.
But not really. You know what I'm saying? Because even if they're getting everything academically, socially they might not be.
Right.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Or the programs that they need, extracurricular might not be there. Or they might get extracurricular and they might get social, but then academically, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to always be something you have to supplement as a parent to give your kid what they may need. And some people overdo it. Some people, you know what I'm saying, fill up the calendar full of shit. I don't have those kind of resources to do that like that. But you give yourself the best opportunity to.
I got it.
Right.
What's up?
I didn't know where I was going to get into an educational.
Hey, that's where you just came from, man. PTA, man. You never know where the conversation going to lead.
No
man.
Doubt.
There you go.
What's good with you?
Man, I'm chilling, dude. I'm out here.
Classic black man answer.
You know, yeah. KG. nah, man. I'm just coming off for the weekend. A few shows this weekend. I was kicking it a little bit. What I do this weekend? Friday. I'm trying to recall the whole situation. I don't know what did I do Friday night. Friday night. I had a spot. Oh no, Friday night I hung out. I was kicking it at you know, man. I told you I'm trying to be out in the in the mix, be visible on the scene. So I was at the cellar for a few hours, and I went over to the stand, kicked it a little bit, just kicking it, chopping it up with comics and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I had some wings at the cellar. I hadn't had the wings at the cellar in a minute. Them shits, you know, they legendary. And I must have been super hungry because I destroyed them shits. And the only thing that stopped, like, snapped me out of my destruction, my wing destruction, was Sean Donnelly, the comedian. He got the new iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So he trying to take a photo with me, like he got, and then, like, you know what I mean? While I'm eating the wings, he trying to take a photo of me, like, kind of on the low. But you can't take a photo on the low with that fucking, shit got like three woofers. Yeah. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? And I'm eating wings and shit.
Right.
I'm like,
you black
on.
Man eating chicken.
Yeah, take it easy.
With a watermelon drink.
Yeah, let me solicit my own, let me put my own wing propaganda out in the world. You know what I mean? But shit was banging. So I did that. Then Saturday, some more food shit. I went out to the Queens Night Market. I was telling you about the night market situation. I finally got to go to that. The Queens.
I don't
one.
Think you told me about the Little Italy situation.
I told you about that, but then I think, oh, okay, so there's similar to, well, not similar, but there's this whole thing going on with these night markets. I thought I talked about the Bronx Night Market. I went to the Bronx Night Market probably a month ago. And Queens Night Market was the first one I had heard about.
And what's a night market?
Night market is, and I think we had a conversation about this because you were calling it something different, but it was basically how we were saying, like, it's not exactly the cafeteria that's outside, but it's basically like a food festival, like kind of like just a bunch of stalls, food festival, little vendors, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big lot of land. This is right across the street from, this is like Corona Park. So it's right across the street from the Queens Science Museum.
Right.
Right? And, you know, so you go there and it's.
That's where the big globe, where the Flavor in Your video was shot?
No, that's Flushing Meadow Park.
Oh, okay.
This is a whole nother thing. It's got like a rocket. In the thing, you know what I mean? Like, and it was night, so I can't even tell you all the other shit to know. But I will give you the heads up though, because the parking is terrible. But that's the look. If you're going to park anywhere, park at the Queens Science Museum,
because
it's after five. It's the lot. It's just wide open, and it's mad spaces. And as soon as you park in the lot, the night market is literally across the way. Like boop boop. So this shit is amazing. Because everything I saw was like, we don't suggest. We want you to take public transportation. The parking here is severely limited. You know, they try to scare motherfuckers off.
Right.
I like to pull up because I like, you know what I mean? Get out
like
of here when
pull
I
pull out.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw a little something on maybe one of these Reddits or some shit because, you know, I'll research everything. And then I seen that shit. But anyway, long story short, you know, good, like real good food stalls out there. They had a shark sandwich that I was going to try.
Mm-hmm.
But I went with some jerk chicken instead, just because the shark, you know, I think the shark sandwich was like fried. And when you get exotic with the meats, once you put that shit in the little bit of, you know
grease.
What I mean? Put a little bit of batter on it, it's like chicken. It's, you know what I mean? It's some chicken and some whatever you got with it. So I did that. There's this, I think her name is Jamie or Janie. She do these little cookies that are made out of pie crust.
Mm.
Them shits was fire. Yeah, it's like pie crust consistency, but you know, it's a little bit of the filling of what would be in the thing. So it was like they had like a bourbon pecan pie or peach raspberry pie, but it's like the crust formed into a cookie.
So it's like a little empanada.
Kind of, but like not with a lot, like.
With a smaller filling.
With a little bit of filling. Not even like empanada, because an empanada is more neat. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is kind of, might be some filling off to the side with a crust.
They just made a ball.
Yeah, they just balled it out. Some
balled it up. Okay.
Go ahead and get that. It's like a croquette.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a little piece of cake, piece of pie croquette. Here you go. Take that. Wow. Enjoy. So that shit was good. They had this other little potato thing that basically take like a potato and they spin that shit to where it's like swirled up. So it's a bunch of little strips, like potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
And then they keep it on a stick. They dip that shit in batter and they fry it. And then you got like a potato chip stick. And that mm-hmm. shit fire. And that was it. That's how all I had. Oh, I had some corn. And that shit was trash.
Corn?
I don't
was trash?
How the fuck you fuck up corn? At the food fest, typically right. that's a go to.
Right.
The little, you know automatic. What I mean? Yeah, that shit
you
was
should,
dry.
You should be banned from the goddamn festival.
I was sick. And you know when you go, you know when you swing and miss, like damn. So somebody was like, "Where you get the corn?" Because corn is one of the things you walking around. It's very like, "What you? Where that corn come from?" I said,
"Don't
corn
do
down
it.
There." But that shit is
don't
trash.
Don't do it. It's regular.
Yeah, I had to hate on them. I had to give them a real time Yelp review. Like, nah, that ain't for you. But other than that, man, the shit was cool. I had a good time out there. We just out there for a couple hours. Then I went out to got out with the homies. Went to Corner Social, seen Bev out in the streets.
Oh, okay, so
shit.
You were up in Harlem.
Yeah, I was around.
Corner Social, that's on the social block of Harlem.
Right, it's right there in the mix. We had a nice little table, we was just chilling, kicking it, talking shit.
Oh, I did see I posted a picture with you.
Yeah, it was a fun night, it was chill.
I thought y'all was at like an event.
Nah, we was at the event. It was the event.
Because you said Saturday Night Live, I thought y'all might have been at Saturday Night Live.
No. I thought that too when I first met. I was like, did she fuck up my credits? Did she know me? But no. That was a play on words and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Did that Sunday.
What was popping at the Corner Social? Now,
it was
you know,
just chilling.
You can't skip
it
over
was
the
chilling.
Harlem
I was in and out like the burger, man. But it was lit. It was lit. I was tired, one. And then I might have had a lightweight piece of itis. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I thought I was catching a cold. I was sneezing a lot. So I was, my plan was just to have one drink and just to, you know, what I mean, see the people keep it moving, but then one drink turned to, you know, two, whatever. And we was just chilling, talking shit, bugging out, you know what I mean?
So what does it look like? I know how it look on in the summer, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's you know,
it looked
cracking.
About the same because it was still a nice night. It was a, you know, nice, good, I think it was like 80-something that
okay,
day.
Okay, right.
So it was still summer remnant energy.
Right.
And you know, the summer remnant energy could be on par, if not better, than summer energy because people feel like
it's a
scarce.
Bonus. It's a bonus.
Yeah, it's like, woohoo, wait a minute. Let me go
hold
out
up,
there.
Hold up.
Yeah. So there was that. You know, it was outside, so it was kicking it. You hear the little, we was just in the spot, you know what I mean? It was a nice little place to be just to, you know.
It's people,
museum
that's,
of life,
it's,
as you
people
would say.
It's people that's listening that ain't, you know what I mean?
All right, so it's literally right on the corner of 126 and Lenox. So you're...
Across the street from Red Rooster.
Across the street from Red Rooster. Across the street from Sylvia's. What else is around there? Right literally around the corner from the Apollo. Shit.
And a brand new Whole Foods.
Oh, right. A brand new Whole Foods.
So it's a lot of things.
There's a couple other restaurants, a little restaurant row type of thing, and then Lenox is a pretty wide
boulevard.
Yeah, so there's a lot of foot traffic, and then you know traffic coming in and out. You know what I mean? Like
so, sometimes it's always a look.
Yeah,
if you're gonna go to Harlem, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of like Main Street, downtown Harlem,
right.
Where you could run into. Some action, you
right?
Know what I'm and take it from there. It's a great starting point and a great ending point. If you know what I'm saying?
It's a good place to be. Absolutely,
right?
And it was stated actually. You know, that's when you know you're in a good place. Because sometimes when you at the spot, your locale or your you know where you logistically you might be in a bad spot and you know kind of cramp it.
Right.
But you know when you in the place to be, and you in a nice little spot where you can see everything and be. You know what I mean? You're like okay.
Right.
We got prime real estate.
Right.
This feels good. And it kind of make you a little reluctant to make another move.
Exactly.
Because now you're looking at, you're like, well, shit, I don't know. Is it comparable to what we're doing
right
now?
We on Front
second?
Street right here.
Right. So there was that. That was cool. It was chill. say something. Yeah, my homie, one of the homies was like, it reminded him of Atlanta. And I was like, you know, and to, in short, because it was black folks having a good time. You know what right, I mean? Right, I was right. like, you know, and it was interesting because it's almost what made struck me. Obviously, that's a beautiful thing. You know, we always celebrate Atlanta and everything, but you know, shit, Harlem been a black mecca
where it
since.
Started.
You know what I mean? Like, let's not, you know what I mean? Like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? Let's not just disregard the OG.
Mind you, Atlanta. Yeah. Atlanta's still trying to be a Harlem.
Man, I remember when I was a kid in school, I lived in Brooklyn. We went to, this might have been the first time, this was one of the first times I realized we had a school trip. I think we went to the Apollo, or we just went to Harlem. And this is in the 80s or whatever. And like this shit was, you know, like Harlem was known to be
right.
where blackness was. You know what I mean? Right. Like on all the levels, Renaissance, like the Dandata.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I remember clearly we went to a McDonald's and they all had like signature Kente cloth McDonald's uniforms. You know how McDonald's like to get in the community
right.
and program
right, right, right.
I was blown away. I was like, oh, they on it for real.
Where it used to be plaid.
Yeah.
They put the Kente cloth.
They Kente'd it out. I said, oh, shit, they ain't fucking around out here in Harlem. They really mean this shit. Mm. And that was like one of my early impressions of you know, Harlem. I remember a long time ago going to see Big Daddy Kane and Biz Markie at the Harlem. We were in the balcony. This was me and my
at the Apollo?
At the Apollo. And the motherfucker, that shit was rocking so crazy. The balcony was like shaking, like,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't give a fuck. Like right. it was, you know what I mean? You were too, you know, maybe it was youth, or maybe it was just the right. fact you was just so excited.
Right.
If a motherfucker was going to die there, that'd have been a hell of a you. Damn, nigga, it went down. I mean, but
that Apollo been shaking for a long time.
Yeah, that balcony is secure. They might build it in. It might have a little.
It might have a little shake to it,
yeah,
so it won't fall down.
Made the shake.
We one time that happened to me. Not to cut you off, but one time that happened where the fucking shit was shaking, and I was up on the second floor of the shit shaking.
Yeah.
It was Outkast in Tallahassee at the Moon.
Okay. Yeah.
And the year before Outkast's first album came to fam, and they got booed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this was their first time coming back since.
Yeah.
And they rocked that bitch.
Came back with a vengeance.
Oh, my God. That was when the ATLians was about. The ATLians had just dropped. Uh-huh. So it was soon after the ATLians dropped. And they killed that shit, dog.
That was a moment.
That shit was so crazy. But go ahead.
No. That was the question. Quick sidebar for that. What's your favorite album out the Outkast catalog? You had to pick one.
It might be ATLians for me.
That was a fire. I think it's maybe for me too.
Top to bottom, solid. I like the other albums, you know what I'm saying? But ATLians was top to bottom. You know what I'm saying? Just like the first album was top to bottom, but you know what I'm saying? It was new. And it was like, okay, let me figure these cats out.
Right.
By the time ATLians came, you knew them and it was like, oh, and they switched their whole style up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that album was totally different from the first album.
Right.
It was like shit.
Yeah.
And it was banging all the way through to me.
Yeah. They mm-hmm. felt like they had found their groove.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first album to me, I had gone to Atlanta. That's when I first started college, when the second ATLians came out. So that came out the weekend of orientation.
Oh,
so
wow.
I always look at it like that. We went to Tower, like it was part of the little festivities or whatever, like the what they pro, you know what they do.
They selling the school.
Yeah, like, not even selling the school. Well, guess selling the school, but like our RA took us to Tower. That was back in the days when like midnight releases were the shit.
Yeah,
and we went to the midnight Tower release. That shit was cracking. We in Atlanta.
Like, welcome to college.
Hell yeah, they playing the whole. That shit was so fire. Then we might have seen them live a couple times. Like it was. It was definitely a definitive album. They caught their stride and got way more experimental and had fun with all the other albums, and they mm-hmm. were dope too. But I felt like that's when they kind of locked in, like
right.
boom, boom. That's when you got the personas
right.
clear as day.
Right,
you
and it's like,
I mean?
This wasn't no one-hit wonder
nah.
shit. These niggas excelled.
Yeah, it wasn't no fluke. And it felt like, in retrospect, I guess they had something to prove on a certain level.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
South got something to say.
They've been talking ever since.
These niggas won't shut up.
New York niggas like, yo, just pass down. Can I get a word in? I just want to get a word in. Shit. Oh, man. So that was that, man. Sunday night, I did, I was at the stand. I did Smokes and Jokes. Shout out to O'Henny. That was a cool situation. Watched Power early in the morning as
okay,
I do.
Okay, okay. Let's pause, you know, on Power Church. Let's pause on Power Church. I think everybody hit Power Sunday morning.
Yeah. I be feeling like if I ain't see Power by 11 a.m., I'm fucking up. I'm like, yo, you wild, dude. Don't even go on Twitter. So, well, let's go. Let's talk about it. Let me figure out what I remember. Okay. Oh, a lot of shit happened on this episode. This episode got a little crazy.
Yeah, you always get crazy.
This episode. Where do you want to start?
Shit, the beginning, I suppose.
What happened in the beginning?
Basically, the main shit is Proctor got his ass blasted. Lit up.
This is the thing, man. I like the Proctor scene where it went down and all of that shit. First thing I thought was, nobody in this building here.
Exactly. Nobody ain't calling the police.
It's a luxury-ass apartment. Nobody hear this fucking AR going on, whatever he's killing them with, it, whatever the fuck.
Something military.
Thing, yeah. About at least 100 bullets all through the shit. That was crazy.
My thing is, like, you know, Tommy ain't never used a big gun. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
they ain't. Only first time I saw a big gun on Power is when Ghost tried to kill Tommy.
Just recently.
He came with the stick.
They might have got a gun budget.
You know what I'm saying?
Supplemental gun budget. You know what I'm saying? Gun sponsor and shit.
So Tommy gonna bust up in there for Proctor. He could have punched Proctor in the nose and choked him out.
But he seemed like, you know, he wanted blood because he felt he seen him as a rat.
Right.
So I think it's a different type of kill at that point.
I mean, dead is dead.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the same satisfaction. It's like when you used to be able to bang on a motherfucker. Like, man, get the fuck out of bang. Now you know what I mean? Now you press the button. It's different.
Well, I guess he
won an exclamation point.
You know what I'm saying? In Ghost's apartment.
Well, that was what I... That's... We'll get into that, too. But I didn't catch that until I actually watched Power Confidential. I didn't catch the significance of him just blasting away... Ghost, almost with how Courtney put it, almost like bookends the whole shit. Because that was, you know, that was basically the center of
his new life.
His new life. This was what we did it for. This is every time you went in there, you like, wow, this reminds you, oh yeah, he's doing good.
It's successful.
This is what it was all for.
He turned that shit into the trap.
Shredded, yeah, Swiss cheese the whole shit. So. With nobody. No one heard at all.
No one heard.
But that was crazy.
Proctor barricaded the door with a mattress. Come on, Proctor.
He was trying, man. He didn't know what to do.
The fuck out of here.
So let's talk about... So Tariq...
Tariq got caught up, you know what I'm saying?
His lady lining him up.
Yeah.
Who's
she working for, though?
That's what I'm saying. Unknown right now.
Yeah, who is unknown?
I don't know. We're going to see.
What's a speculation report on that?
Oh, we do a speculation report? Is she working for them people that got? No, I don't think she working for them.
With the Italians?
Yeah. Because
the Italians already knew that information. He knew that information. That's why he sent it out like that. He said, I won't double the order because he knew he couldn't fill the order. Because his whole play on Tariq wasn't Tariq. His whole play on Tariq was to get at Ghost and Tommy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that ain't her saying, I think the competition is out of work, is out of product. I don't think that had nothing to do with the Italians.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying, they haven't introduced no other shit per se, unless it's the roommate.
Unless it's the roommate, but I think that's too close for comfort. Too close for, like, how? I mean, Tariq.
No, he been dissing the roommate.
He been dissing the roommate, but the roommate is still in the room. And the roommate wasn't the smartest cat, remember?
That means, unless he's but playing like, dumb. Like Tommy. But he was the one who brought the pill game to the table.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Because he was selling a few pills that he stole from his sister. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's what they were saying.
Right.
But, you know what I'm saying? He might, you know what I mean? He might be like the competition. He might be moving in on Tariq's situation.
That's a good theory.
But that's the only thing I could come up with. I couldn't figure nothing else out.
I'm trying to think of other crews, and I can't think of anything Tommy's people know. Dre is locked up with all this
Dre
other
got
shit.
Other shit going. He ain't in the game.
Tate.
Tate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be interesting. Yeah.
The old girl working for Tate.
Gonna
get
Ghost Son jam. But he jammed now.
Wait. Say that again. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
You said Tate was, you know what I'm saying? I said he gonna get Ghost Son jammed up.
Oh, it's Tate. Oh, Tate, yeah.
This is your theory.
No, this is my theory. I was throwing that out just to be silly. I don't think as diabolical as Wild Tate is, that would, I mean, it would make sense with Power, though. You'd be like, all right, here you go.
Tate gonna kill both his kids, right, and shit.
So, okay, so there's Tate. I doubt that's gonna be the case. I don't know. I'm curious to see how this whole thing's gonna play out.
All right, so you got that.
So you got whatever, Effie and Set and Tariq up, right?
Right.
So now you got Dre, who got his kid is being like the carrot now.
Everybody's kid is the carrot now.
Yeah, I guess so. Tariq is the carrot.
Tariq, Dre, who else?
Proctor's kid.
Proctor's kid. Right. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's kid is the carrot.
Right. It is so, I mean, the way they got Dre's daughter out there is ridiculous. They just got her, they just got her as a sight gag. Hey, yo, Dre, look across the street. <That's your daughter. laughs> Drive off. Yo, what's up? That's my daughter. Not yet, Dre. We need you to do a little bit more.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's that.
Dre on his full Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah, I guess is he ratting? Yeah, he's informed. He's
working
with the people.
Right?
Yeah, he's working with the people. Yeah, he's conforming. He's
Conforming. He's
not
informing.
Informing, and what's the
informing
other
and conforming?
No, cooperating.
Definitely
he's
cooperating.
He's so he's all the way
federal
in.
Witness.
Ratted up. The other shorty, Suarez, she got popped by Tommy, who was in the
witness.
Popped her.
Yeah, he popped her.
What's going on with Ghost?
Ghost shows up at the scene all late, fucking around.
Yeah.
Putting his DNA all in the atmosphere.
Looking silly. And now they're going to have to get back cool again. Or not cool again, but they're going to have to team up for one last heist.
to get Tariq out to play.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about Tasha.
Tasha out here.
Getting high every day in the fucking...
That ain't much of a problem.
I'm
as,
not tripping
as
on
her
that, but it's like,
selling
hey,
dope for a stranger. Like
that was
come on. And I thought she's like he's selling weight in the hood, and then she was like, I can help you move your weight. Then he reach in his pocket and give her a bomb.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That was weird.
What
as
the
fuck?
Fuck?
First of all, a lot of things was weird about that. One, we don't know each other. Two, you tried to intimidate me. Now we working together. Three, I told you clearly there's cameras in front of shit. You right. Just handed off some shit.
But thirdly, you sitting in front of the spot with Tommy and you ain't tell this motherfucker about the extortion?
Right. Was she with Tommy?
Yeah, she was smoking it with Tommy. They talked about the situation and then Tommy got mad at her because she brought up the Holly shit. And then he sped off.
And that was in front of her spot?
Yeah, then she got out of the car and then dude walked up to her, you got my money.
I think she was trying to get to that.
Nah, you supposed to leave with that kind of shit.
Yo, they leaning on me. Yeah. Man, so yeah, it was a good episode. Anything else stand out? You remember?
Yeah, man, shit. Tariq, Tommy, Tasha. You know, Ghost about to be fucking the politician lady.
Yeah, that's about to say.
That's going
to
be his new Angela Valdez, believing in his new self.
Right. You know what I'm saying? You can be somebody.
You know what I'm saying? That's all he needs.
That's
need.
All he want to be is
that's
somebody.
That's all he needed. I mean, that's all any nigga needs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
you could be, so you could do that shit you thinking you could do. That's
right.
All you need, man.
But I think he also always want to be somebody else. Like, because when he became the somebody, he didn't want to be that somebody.
No, he never got to somebody. Every time he get to almost be somebody, we got to go break Lobos out of federal prison.
No, but understood. But what I'm saying
you
is
gotta sell
start,
more dope.
If we start from the chief, the first somebody,
what?
You went from James to Ghost. Like every time we walk in this spot and we see all of this success, that means you won as Ghost. Tasha believed you could be Ghost.
Right.
Now you want to be back to being
James. No, but Ghost been Ghost. Ghost was junk. Was Ghost from the street. This just a successful Ghost, but Ghost want to change and not be under threat of going to prison for the rest of his life or getting killed and be a legit motherfucker in the free world.
That's different.
You know what
legit
I'm saying?
Is, I'm
he
want to
be a legit motherfucker in the free world, and his people from his former life
don't believe that hey man, we doing good as the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
right,
that happens more, that happens a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In life. Like when you switch from the streets to legit, you're gonna lose a certain set of people, you're gonna lose a certain set of flair, and you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That edge. Motherfuckers ain't gonna look at you the same, and some people ain't gonna come around because it ain't as exciting no more. Oh, well, we got to wait to the club tonight. Oh, we going to just drink. Okay. You know what I'm saying? In the streets, it feel like some extra shit going to always pop off.
Right.
We might just dip from the club and go to Atlantic City tonight. Gamble.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and come back Tuesday. You know, that's, you know, in the life.
By air,
yeah, in life, it's just anything may happen. And legit.
I got to check my schedule.
Niggas got schedules.
Yeah. I can't
and appointments.
I can't get out. Nah, I took off last week.
You know what I'm saying? Shit ain't as exciting.
Anyway, speaking of taking off, we're going to have to take off real quick. Why don't you tell the people where you're going to be this week?
I'm going to be here, man. It's my birthday coming up. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
So, shit, my birthday's Saturday, so I'll be around out here, you know what I'm saying, getting it in, living life.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'll be on the gram and on Twitter, at Mr. Muhammad. Holla at your boy.
There it is. Shit, I'll be at Eastville this Thursday on an 8 o'clock show, and then I'll be at the Borgata Comedy Club from the 29th. I'll be there the 29th, the 30th, the October 1st, 2nd, and the 4th. So come through.
And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.